I opened my window for some fresh air, and some bees got in.
Bees!
Get wrecked, of course.
It's just life deciding to reward you for your kind and good service.
All I wanted was fresh air, and I got bees instead.
Well, you could have got wasps. So
yeah, thankfully there are just still bees that were already kind of fluttering around the window.
It's not just any bees, it's Mormon bees. They're even worse.
but imagine Mormon wasps. They would ride on tiny miniature
there
bicycles.
Are these things called Mormon crickets. I'll get a picture of those for you, because they are horrifying.
That would have been good for a bird, buck, or bluff. Or was it buck, bird, or bluff? Yeah, the Mormon crickets.
Bug, bird, or bluff. Sponsored by Pest Control.
Tweets, how does storm sound for you?
How what?
How does storm sounds for you?
How does he sound for me? He sounds fine.
Okay.
Oh, hey, crickets.
Well, how big are those motherfuckers?
What are those are about 3 inches big. 2 to 3 inches is their adult size.
And you've really seen these in person?
I have seen this one in person.
Oh.
Like crawling in your house?
No, they tend to live out in like the mountainy areas, thankfully. Thank God.
The first image,
those ones kind of live out close to like the salt flats, and they have like this migratory pattern. So there'll be like in one point in the year, the road will just be moving because they'll all be migrating from one area to another. The one below, as scary and horrifying as it looks, they're kind of cute and funny little creatures. Even though it looks like it has like the thorax of a wasp, they do bite. So don't put them in your hands, but like you can kind of poke at them and like, you know, play with them a little bit. And they're actually like pretty smart little bugs.
Okay.
Until they get
Fleeks or tweets, I can barely hear you, dude.
You need to get louder.
Yeah, I had to turn my microphone or my volume up for you because I can't hear you that much.
Alright, give me a second.
Okay. Normally you're louder, tweets.
You just need to crank up that sensitivity all the way to maximum.
Yeah, I have my I have my sensitivity up at like fucking 93 now. I don't know why I'm like impossible to hear at 80. It's stupid.
I can hear you pretty well now.
And shit.
Yeah, now we can hear that beautiful voice.
So, does anybody know what those giant cricket-looking things are? I think it starts like a W. They're like huge.
You're gonna have to send a picture or something.
Yeah, because I don't have a damn clue.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't have any pictures. I was going to look one up, but I don't know what the fuck it's called, so. RIP, I guess.
Knowledge is a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Cricket-looking things. Katydids?
No, not katydids.
Okay, katydids, I just Googled for cricket-looking things.
Here, I have a Google search. Let me hang on.
Maybe a camel cricket?
I found it. I just searched a giant cricket thing. It's called a weta.
A wet.
Share a picture.
Please.
Alright. Let me find a good picture.
Jesus, what the hell is it with you gamers and mechanical keyboards? I feel like I'm at my accountant's office.
I don't have a mechanical keyboard. I just have a normal one.
Yeah, mine's normal too.
Mine is laptop.
It sounded mechanical with all that noise.
See, the problem is that when I turn my mic sensitivity up, it picks up fucking everything. But if I turn it down to like 80, which you'd think would be reasonable to hear my voice, you can't hear shit, and it's fucking frustrating as hell.
Well, my settings are like... Give me a second.
Alright, I posted a pic.
My setting is minus 45.
That looks like it would come from Australia.
Oh God, I want to have it on my hand.
Considering the link is from Australia, yeah. It's where I am now, totally. Because everything that can kill you or looks weird and nasty and huge pretty much comes from here.
What are the...
Oh, hey, I have a picture of the Mormon cricket migration now, just to kind of put that image in your head before we move on to the actual subject. There you go. Enjoy that. I'm sure it's delightful.
My mic keeps lighting up.
I imagine that's a lot of roadkill.
Yeah, you drive over and they pop. Audibly.
Yeah.
And your wheels.
But gate you have right there. If, like, you got to get out of your car to open the gate, that motherfucker can fall on you.
Yeah, you have to, like, do the 1-2 skidoo kind of thing. Like, you have to keep moving your feet nonstop.
Ew. I just get a flamethrower. Just torch the motherfuckers.
Thankfully, I don't live anywhere in those areas where these guys migrate to.
Hey, that's just like crickets.
So, I mean, do you want more Mormon fun facts concerning these guys?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Well, as I'm sure you all know, Utah's state bird is the seagull. I'm not kidding. It hurts. The reason it's the seagull is because of these Mormon crickets. So when Guy McGee, what the hell was his name? Joseph Smith landed in Utah, and all of his pioneers landed in Utah with him. They started to grow their crops, and their first crop season was a bust because of these crickets. Well, it was almost a bust because of these crickets. All these locusts, you know, it was something, like, you see this, is honest to God, equivalent to a biblical plague. Like, I would be thinking, God, like, you know, there's a biblical plague happening right now if all of these little crickets came along were, like, eating my carrots and crops and stuff. But, so they got all their crops planted, and the crickets came on and were starting to eat them. The seagulls came along and ate a ton of crickets, just, like, engorged themselves on crickets, and actually saved a good portion of the crops for the Mormons.
Oh, okay. Okay. And, so practically, the seagull is somehow holy?
It's not holy, it's just the state bird.
Yeah, but I mean, they believed, probably they thought, like, oh, the seagulls were sent by God. Oh,
well,
nice.
I guess, like, in the same way that bread would be considered holy, like, with the whole fish and manna stories of the Bible.
Well, we can't forget Seagull Stephen.
You know, when I heard Mormon cricket, I knew immediately that there had to be some sort of story that came along with that name, right? And for a second, I was like, are they called Mormon crickets because they go and eat the flesh of Mormons or something like that? Just, you know, crazy thought. And I'm glad it was something similar.
Well, they tried. Just to our listeners, just so everybody's aware, Storm is currently on Australia. Fleeks is in Germany, as always, so we'll have those issues going on. And then Tweets is joining us as well. So if we have audio hiccups, sorry for this episode. So far, we're doing okay, though.
Yeah. Yes. Can you consider how far our voice packets have to travel to make this podcast happen for you? This is a testament to modern technology right here.
Perdania.
I love how I don't need any excuse. Just, oh, Tweets is joining you. There might be audio hiccups.
Yeah, you're a hiccup all on your own. I love you, Tweets.
God. That and quality Australian internet.
So what are we drinking today?
Oh,
Tweets, because you had to make a run, let's start with you.
Well, I was going to grab some...
What did you bring us?
I was going to grab some Kona, which is my favorite beer. I like the Big Wave. It's like a golden ale, but they don't actually carry that at the convenience store I go to anymore, so I picked up some Stella instead.
Damn. I've had Kona. They are actually really good.
Yeah, I have Joe's Enigma. That's a rye IPA from a local brewery called Nittenauer. Yeah, I'm going with IPAs.
So, Fleeks is... the hipster of the show, if he actually likes IPAs.
Pretty much.
Not all IPAs, but some.
I'm drinking Leenan Kugel's Summer Shandy. It's one of my favorite beers of all time.
Okay. Sounds groovy. And it's 6 a.m. in Australia, so that's a good enough excuse to have vanilla vodka and Coke.
I was actually straight up going to ask you if you went out and had some Foster's.
That's actually bullshit. I've not met one Australian down here that likes that shit.
They jokingly make
it here and then export it because no one domestically will drink it.
From what I understand, the joke is like nobody within like civilized culture of Australia, you know, Sydney, drinks it. But like all of the boonie living people, like way out in the desert, that's like their water.
Oh, so the Bogans. Okay. Yeah.
So why are you in Australia right now?
Because I decided for vacation, I wanted to take a trip back in time and civilization and see how people used to live 50 years ago. So I went to Australia to get a taste of the action. Plus, they have Furdu, so I'm kind of attending that too.
South Australia, right?
Rich fuck.
Furdu's actually on the Gold Coast. So that's in Queensland.
We're learning geology today.
In which part of Australia is the Gold Coast? East, north, west, south?
It's like slightly northeast. So take Sydney and follow the coast up, and it's on the north side, the north
side
of the border. Yeah.
So it's not totally like in the west where nobody else lives. Okay.
No, that would be Perth.
Okay.
Is it still a lot of cattle ranching out there? Like, my entire knowledge of Australia, I'm just going to be honest with you, is like 1950s. I don't know anything about Australia past the 1950s. I'm not kidding.
I believe in parts of the country, yes. I'm not in one of those, but there are some, yes.
Aside from what I saw in Finding Nemo, that's about it.
Yes, they do still have the reef. You know, we got that going on down here, too. And they still drive on the wrong side of the road. And all the light switches are backwards.
So you flick them down to turn them on?
Yes.
What the fuck?
No, they aren't backwards. They are just aligned to the US ones, because they are, you know, it's for Americans it's up, you know. They just need to put it on the wall in the other direction so they work, you know what I mean?
They're just fulfilling the Australian stereotype that Australia is upside down.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah, and the toilet. And when you flush the toilet, it spins the other way. And I think that's because they designed
it. I'm pretty sure that's bullshit.
Yeah, no, that's true.
No, it has to do with actually how they designed the toilet. But yes, it does spin the other way. And I guess the most interesting thing to get used to for me has been the culture. Because the more Australians like you, the more they will insult you.
Oh, so like me.
Yeah, Carl's Australian. But thing is, in Germany, our toilets don't spin at all because we are not collecting the water in the toilet. We only have like the drain and that is it. We don't flush our whole toilet with water like in sink or something. You know what I mean?
Gross.
That's just
so that means heck? if you drop a thing in there. And it's going to smell pretty stinky till you flush it. That kind of sucks. The water at least controls the smell a little bit.
Yeah, Germans. Plus, I mean, we have what's called the courtesy flush over here where... I can't believe we're having toilet talk right now. I'm so sorry. But, I mean, the courtesy flush, which is what you do if, you know, you're taking a little bit longer on there and the smell is starting to waft a bit. You flush, you get rid of it, and you continue.
I show you how a standard German toilet looks like. And this, it has a latch. It has a latch.
Why is the hole on the wrong side of the toilet?
It's in the very front. What the shit?
What the hell?
Why?
That's the German toilet.
And then everyone was confused and scared.
So any desire for me to ever go to Germany just went away. How about you guys?
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. And the toilets here, the pipe, you know, in the U.S., how... In most of our toilets, the sewage pipe is right below the toilet, so you don't see it. Mm-hmm. In Australia, them motherfuckers are going out the back, the side.
The top?
it's just every direction but what you would actually expect. Ridiculous.
Core, to answer your question, I still have a desire to go to Germany. Just I'll eat very light before I go there and hope to God I don't have to poop until I come back.
Just water and salads. That's your entire diet, yep. Your staple diet for the entire week.
Water and iceberg lettuce. Nothing but that.
And if you end up having to use the toilet, you just drink heavily beforehand, like lots of liquor. Just as a coping mechanism to deal with the German toilets.
Storm, yes. I need your intel. How do they, on public toilets, how do they locker for the doors look like?
Just
how do you lock the doors?
You shut the door and there's a lever you turn and okay. It locks the door and it says vacant, not vacant.
Okay, because when I saw one thing, I was in different countries, and every country has different locking systems on their public toilets.
Yes.
The tourists? Like, you fly to the country, you're, you know, getting acquainted, and you have an emergency situation, so you head into the toilet, and then, like, just all hell breaks loose because you don't know what the fuck to do anymore.
Well, all Australian toilets have... on the top of them, because it's always on the top, two buttons. One for if you tinkle and one for if you drop the other thing. And it took a while to figure out which one means which, because they're not always in the same spot, they're not always on the same side, and they don't always have the same picture on them. So it's like, for some of these toilets, like, why the fuck would they think that would represent taking a piss? I mean, seriously. Just how do they think of
this? Is why America follows standardization.
Yes, yeah. A feature I do like a lot about Australia, and the UK has it too, is every plug has its own little switch. So you don't really have to worry about fire hazards as much because you can just turn the damn switch off right above the plug where your stuff's plugged into. So there you go.
Neat.
Whereas,
on the other hand, that switch increases the fire hazard because it's a how switches work, and if you don't put it off, you have a higher fire hazard than when you just don't have a switch at all.
That's entirely a breaker, I'm guessing. That's weird because I know that's part of the reason why they actually have the switches on them, but that's
it sounds like a breaker system over there, which, I mean, we have those here. They're just not on common outlets. We just rely on like a household breaker.
Right.
High power demands will have like per power switch breakers. Anyways, before we get into discussing electrical outlets, maybe we should introduce ourselves and do the show.
Yeah, that sounds
interesting. What episode it is? What episode it is, dear Core?
This is episode 28 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
Woo! I'm Fleek.
I'm Stormy.
God damn it.
God damn it!
Fuck! who tipped him off? Who did it?
Our plan is ruined. Ruined right now.
You were supposed to go, I'm Storm, and we were both going to go, I know, he's Stormy. This is apparently they call you in Australia.
Yes, that's exactly what they call me in Australia. Because they're all cute bastards. We have one more today.
Yeah, who's there?
Hi, I'm Sweet.
Everybody gets a high-pitched voice. Everybody gets high-pitched voice. The name Tweets just... you have to pronounce it. Tweets!
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I talk it. Hey, Tweets! How are you, Tweets?
Sound like one of those curse sensors.
today we are probably probably own our major rating because our topic today is a bird romance. And we'll actually talk about love and sex and all the stuff. And we'll try not to be cringy about it, but we will fail.
Oh, yeah, guarantee. This is Bird Life. We are easily the cringiest podcast on the internet.
It's all about cloacas. The cloacas.
It's done. Okay, already ruined.
I have an important question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is that the reason we drink? Because we know we're cringy and it's the only way we can deal with it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
I'm in Australia. Yeah. They don't need a fucking reason to drink because everything's a reason to drink.
The fact that you guys tune in and listen to these episodes, believe me, I adore you for it. Thank you for tuning in every week.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
We're getting better. We really are. Go back to episode 1 if you don't believe us.
That was a question.
Episode 6, please. Episode 6 didn't happen. Nothing there. Nothing to see there. This is my redemption arc.
Welcome to the Tweets Redemption Arc. So,
Yeah, we're talking about birdie love today. Not just birdie love, but I guess, like, you know, love in general. What do we got on our plates for us, Fleeks?
Well, we got a lot on our plates, but generally, we'll just talk about love.
I would love...
What? Yeah, Storm has the best questions. He's the questioning griffin.
Well, Storm, when a mother griffin and a father griffin love each other very much.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yes, Storm, explain us where the grifflets are coming from.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So when a mother griffin and father griffin love each other very much, they disappear off behind the tree.
You're wrong.
Why?
Because.
Why is this?
Because you're wrong. What happens is when a cat butt and a bird love each other very much, that's where you're wrong.
But when they're already half bird, half cat, they go behind the tree, and next thing you know, you start hearing the song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, playing for no apparent reason in the sky, as they go and do the Humpty Hump. And magic happens, and then several months later, you get, you know, squawky little things running around that actually don't look very cute at first, but then they turn into adorbs.
Why don't we just play it off like the Sims play it off? Call it woohoo, and then you just play under the sheets, and suddenly you have a baby.
There'd have to be some big fucking sheets.
Unless you select the woohoo just for fun option, which didn't come out until like Sims 3.
I just realized that baby griffins are actually kind of horrifying when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got like one half is all furred and soft and cute looking, and then the other half is this terrible gremlin creature that's all frail and spindly and doesn't have any feathers.
You know what? Straight up, we can be honest with ourselves. We are all birds here. Baby birds are ugly as sin.
Yeah.
Yes. Unless they're chickens. Most. Unless they're like, you know, chickens.
But
there's a few that are really cute.
But after they've been alive for a little while and, you know, a chance to molt and grow some proper feathers, they get pretty cute. Just takes a little while.
Yeah. Okay, besides the baby-making part, I didn't receive any stories or advice, like, letters this week. You guys suck.
Rude.
Not you guys present with me now. I'm talking to the audience.
But even when you're ruder. Talking... when you're talking about... you know, love and whatnot. I think one of the big aspects to that also is nicknames or pet names we give people we're into. And something I really have come to appreciate down here in Australia as well, and you guys kind of hinted at it through the joke I somehow railroaded at the beginning of the show. If they like you, they'll take your name, especially within the furry community, and they will add a Y to it. So you would be kind of Corey, and then we'd have Tweety. And then Fleeks would be Fleeky. Yeah, I'm Stormy, not Storm. And if they do that, they like you. It's a sign of affection. And so that got me thinking, you know, in a relationship, what sort of nicknames or pet names would you give someone you care about, someone you love, to kind of show them that, you know, you really appreciate them? What do you guys think?
Well, it depends on the person, really. I mean, for Fleeks, for example, I call him Fleeksies all the time.
Yeah, Fleeky.
I told I call tweets Tweetzel all the time because it's like the Bavarian, the Earl in the end is like the Bavarian thing to cutify a name.
You also call me Birdie Pie and Cutie and a bunch of other things.
Birdie Pie, yeah, Birdie Pie.
And we already did this in a past episode, but like, I don't know if it's just an American thing, but kind of like making names like into food, I guess, a little bit, like a Cutie Pie or like Pumpkin Pie. Like we call like the ones we care about like pumpkin or stuff like that as a term of endearment.
Yeah, that is true. We do that indeed.
Sweet Tart.
You know, now that you bring this up, this is the only time I've ever really thought about that, and that's Snickers. Actually a really weird thing.
Love Muffin.
Well, yeah. you're so good, I just want to gobble you up, baby.
I want to vore you because I love you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but it's true, we do it. There's people that do it in public for just members of the public. Like, I can't tell you how many times, especially if you go down to the southern U.S., where they'll say, oh, how you doing, sweetie pie? Can I get you more tea? Like, really?
That is a very southern thing to do, is like the sweeties, the huns, the oh honeys, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's hey, just hun. That's what is it? Southern hospitality is what they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it wasn't for the blatant racism that happened down there, it would actually be really endearing. Like if, you know, you go down there and like, oh, well, hi honey, how you doing? You want some iced tea, some pie, apple pie? Like, yeah. It's adorable. It's sweet. And then they flip around on you, and they're like, thank goodness you're not one of them black people. Like, what the hell? And they don't say black people, but you know.
Yeah.
You want an order of a burning cross with that? Yeah.
It's like, we're going to fill you with love and acceptance unless you're black.
Yeah, that was something I have to learn. But in general, Americans are pretty much sweethearts when they are like talking. Not only the Southern Americans, even the Northern ones and stuff. And they are really like, if they communicate with you, they overuse terms like hun and darling and stuff. That's really. I think it's general English language that they are using it a lot, because the first time when I talk to an American artist and for a commission and stuff, they were like always like honey, yeah, darling and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, they're very nice.
If you go north in the U.S., it kind of changes to like Canadianisms instead of the Southern hospitality thing, but it's still kind of endearing in its own way. Like,
yeah,
you go through like Idaho, Montana, like all the way over to Wisconsin, they kind of get that. I can't even do the impersonation right now. God, I have to have a person in my mind in order to be able to do a
to do a
Northern American accent like Wisconsin.
You got to have a lot of cheese. A lot of cheese. But it depends, because Wisconsin has its own. North Dakota's almost like Diet Canadian. And then the northeast part of the U.S. has its own.
But they all have that twinge of Canadian. Anyways, Fleeks, you were trying to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, if you would do that in Germany, if you have German would say to you like, hey, yeah, alles ist okay, das ist gut, Schatz. Or if they would like to use those terms like, comparable to her. To hun or darling, I would ask them, are you hitting on me? are you trying to hit on me? What's going on? Stop this. You know, because in Germany, it's not, you don't do that.
You don't give terms of endearment in general conversation?
No, you only say that to people you want to hit on, and even then it's a bit if you're not sure that the person has feelings for you too, you don't call them honey or, you know, it's just like.
So, see, yeah. I always imagined two Germans that liked each other would go like this. I just want you to know that I love you. And, you know.
That sounds more like angry like Italian.
Yeah, yeah, angry Italian or Spanish, Hispanic or some. El Sacco, I love you.
Let's get into the meat of this. Let's talk about knocking boots, guys. For real.
Knocking boots.
Jesus. Before we do, can I say one thing?
Sure.
Just when what Fleeks was saying earlier with like the Han and all the terms of endearment that Americans use and stuff, I am 100% guilty of this. And if any of you, which you all have spoken to me on Telegram, like, or any sort of text media at all, you know that, because I will literally say it all the time. I'm like, what's up, hun? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So. I overuse the huns very much, so.
So, yeah.
Apparently, I'm just not a very loving person in general, because I don't use a whole lot of terms of endearment.
You grew up in a cold state.
I grew up unloved. Nobody hugged me as a baby.
There is no love in Utah.
There's Mormons.
Those are not a good substitute for love.
They only love.
if you go back to a Mormon household and you're the guy, if you know you don't like one kind of love, you got 147 other varieties under
Again,
one roof that you can.
Mormons are not all FLDS. That's one small sect in the very southern part of Utah that we don't talk about.
Is the like lots of children thing actually true though?
What's that?
Is the lots of children thing true? Or?
Oh God, yeah, cheaper by the dozen, like for days.
All right. Isn't that because, like, I'm not sure if this is the religion that I am thinking it is, but isn't that because, like, they think with every child they have, it, like, absolves them of their sins more and more or some shit like that?
I don't think that's what right, the Mormons believe is that there are spirit babies. I'm not kidding you. They believe there are spirit babies. So there's these little spirits that are drifting around us in the atmosphere as we speak right now. And they are looking for a vessel to enter, to go into. And we need to provide those vessels.
Kinky.
Okay, that's weird. Anyway, Corey, you wanted to get onto the meat of the subject, right? So
yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Talk about the meat of the subject, guys.
Hugh, so funny. Let me slap you.
Okay.
Tell
let's
me
just
all you know.
Talk about general hookup culture. Like, of those of us who have partaken in it, what are your experiences? What works for you? And I guess,
you know,
what do you... Go ahead.
For me, I have to admit, it's the internet. I only met one of my girlfriends, like, in real life, and she, was like, oh, God. Sorry, let me start again. Mostly, I met all my girlfriends on the internet, except one who was, like, super hot on me, and Then after that, after she found out how my name on a chat in the internet was, then she hit up on me on the internet. That's the way it went. But yeah, it's mostly the internet. The internet made dating pretty easy.
It really did. There's a lot of, I don't want to say complaint, but there's a lot of complaint on how, like, it's the only word I can think of how, like, easy it is for some, you know, people to just hook up, and other people... there's a hang up. They're not able to make that communication, they break that communication barrier and be able to step into like this, you know, more open world of sexuality that we are in. And a lot of people, they say that it's because they're more of an emotional, like they need to have an emotional connection to it. And I can, there is definitely validity to that. And I can say that because like partaking in hookup culture, you will find that the sex is a lot more emotionally void and empty, and it is more just for, you know, the fleshy, pure fun of it all, instead of, it doesn't feel as fulfilling, truthfully, it doesn't, but it's still fun, is the thing.
Mm.
I guess kind of like the saying is, hey, the pizza may be cold, but it's still pizza.
Right. For me, internet, like Fleeks, definitely the internet helped a lot with that. And I also went and at conventions and other large meetups.
Oh yeah, cons meeting. Help lots.
But what's interesting is while I have absolutely just went and because of circumstance, opportunity, being at the same room party, etc., gone and practice making griffins with people, I also tend to prefer in general being more like a friends with benefits kind of situation, because even though yes, fleshy flesh is great, I get more out of it if there's at least a friendship behind it, because then we can snuggle and go out for drinks and pizza later.
Yeah, if there's some sort of, there does, like, that's kind of how I am. I need some sort of emotional underlying connection. Like, I can still go out and hook up, but without it, I don't enjoy it as much. It doesn't feel as worthwhile to me.
Mm.
Cricket.
What about you, Tweety? What do you think?
I feel the same way, I guess. I would much rather have an emotional connection with somebody if I'm going to be in a relationship with them and stuff. So the hookup culture is like, I don't know, it's not really for me. I'm not really super sexually active anyway. Like, I don't have a whole lot of desire for it. I'd been totally content to just sit and have my hand as my friend, basically. I very rarely actually want to have sex. So hookup culture for me is pointless because I don't care. But for the people it works for, cool. Good for them.
Yeah, for kind of hookup, I also need some trust and practically some emotions, because strangers aren't appeal to me that much.
So then how do you go about starting that initial emotional connection? How do you go from meeting someone to asking them out?
I don't feel like I'm a good person to ask for this kind of advice. Maybe Fleeks and Storm will have something to say on it. But for me, I've only been in like maybe 4 relationships total, if we're counting the like super early in your life, like middle schoolish, like puppy love scenarios, right? Which I don't personally.
Okay.
So the relationship I'm in right now, I have been in for like 8 or 9 years, surprisingly, or not too surprisingly, since like my early high school years, I think.
Okay.
And it's lasted until now. So I don't have a whole lot of experience really to like say how you get into that kind of relationship, because my boyfriend's the only person I've ever had this sort of like emotional connection with.
And that's not all that uncommon. It is really cool to be able to, I mean, there's 2 ways that relationship usually goes. You either grow together, you grow apart. And one of the relationships I was in was also kind of like the fresh, like just barely met, like at the last minute in high school. And we kind of grew apart over the course of 3 years, and it ended pretty bad. Meanwhile, there are a lot of other people who, you know, they can have that same scenario, and instead of growing, you know, individually and apart, they kind of grow together and they mature together and they build their lives around each other. And it really is. That's a really cool thing. It's not uncommon at all.
I guess if people like want my like experience to like say, okay, well, maybe this will work for you, which is unlikely because I think I was a rare case, to be perfectly honest. What happened is, since it was, my boyfriend and I met in middle school, like I think my final year in middle school, maybe like late into the first. And he was like the weird kid. Like nobody liked him. Like I'm not kidding. Nobody liked him. He was super weird. He was like kind of like a nerd, and everyone had like that sort of like, he had like the huge like nerd stereotype. Like he's a kid who likes video games. He's like good at math and shit, which that was total stereotype. I don't know if that was like actually true or not. I don't think he was great at math. Anyway, losing track. So I always thought he was like weird and shit. And then I kind of befriended him through another friend of mine, and we started hanging out and playing video games and realized we had that in common. And then somewhere along the line, it became friends with benefits. And then somewhere further along the line, after I was pressured by a friend of mine into a relationship I didn't want to be in with a girl at my high school, he asked me out, and then here we are now. Mike, you're not supposed to be listening. Go away. No, you aren't. No.
Oh, jeez. Relationship 101.
Say hello to Mike from me.
So, Storm, Mr. Chess Puffy Griffin, what's your experience in hookup culture and, you know, or not hookup culture, but meeting and engaging in a relationship?
The bow sugar wow wow of the life. Let's see.
If you want to go that route, yeah, I'm talking about more of just like, you know, that introductory phase where you're meeting someone and you may hook up, you may find a relationship, something like that. How do you talk to someone new, basically?
Well, let's see. after age of 21, offer to sit them down for, try to find something in common. At cons, people like to drink, obviously. So offering to sit down over a drink and just finding a common career and starting with that really helps prior to age 21. Finding a drink and sitting down and talking to someone, or if you don't like to drink, just for me, it's always socializing in the sense that you find common ground. Once you establish what that common ground is, whether it's video games, politics, whatever your topic may be, you will find common ground with most people somewhere.
Okay. Well, how do you break that common ground? How do you walk up to someone who's an otherwise stranger and say hi?
What I do is I listen. I listen for what they're saying if they're already in conversation, and I'll pick up on clues. If they're not in conversation, they're kind of just, you know, at the bar sitting by themselves or at a con sitting in a corner. I'll now go up and say, hi, how are you doing? And kind of feel them out energy-wise to see if they seem interested in wanting to talk or if they're kind of giving me the leave me alone vibe. And go from there.
So that's... go ahead, sorry.
And then from how that translates from that initial icebreaker into doing more just really depends on how the sparks go.
Yeah.
That's about right, yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking for a relationship, if you're looking, you know, to meet someone, if you're just looking for new friends, you can't be the person who sits at the bar and just expects people to walk up to you. You do have to be open and receptive, but you also have to be, you know, willing to get up and go say hi to other people. And oftentimes that initial contact point is where most of the people in this fandom kind of have a hang up. Like they don't want to go approach someone. They're scared, they're nervous, they're afraid of rejection, and I get that. I totally do. But you do have to have some courage, and you have to, you know, feign confidence if you have to. Go up,
yeah, it helps.
Go say hi. Say, hi, my name is X. How's it going? And get them to introduce themselves and ask them questions. Like, not necessarily, like, interrogate them, but I mean just, like, so what are you here for? Like, what attracted you to this convention? Or, you know, if it's just at a bar, like, you know, throw them a compliment and just try to find something to kind of talk about and pick up on. And then don't be afraid to ask questions.
The easiest topic you can start that conversation on within furry is, how did you create your character?
Oh, there you go. That is true.
For myself, to answer your question, to do my part on the answer to the question, I was a pretty boring teenager, I guess. I was like the class best and stuff, and I wasn't very favored with girls and stuff.
Valedictorian, master of the chess club, founder of the science club.
I actually wasn't a chess club. Fun.
Battlestar Galactica.
Actually, girls weren't interested in me, and at that time I was still, as teenager, I was like totally straight, at least I felt like it. And then one day I decided, hey, I love metal, and I think long hairs are cool, and I'll let my hair grow. And suddenly, and that's the thing, I never actively tried to pick up a girl. They picked me up, and that was like an experience. I was like confused, not really you know, I was like, what's going
on
now?
It turned around,
you know what I mean? I was like every teenager was a bit like, oh, I want a girl, I want a girlfriend, I want this, I want sex, man. And that suddenly they wanted sex.
So,
and
go ahead. I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting.
No, that was what I wanted to say. So I with my hairs, suddenly I had more success, and my self confidence like grow way up. Oh. You know what I mean and stuff. And suddenly confidence. I was like, oh, I'm attractive, cool.
Confidence is such a big factor in this, because like when I go and I suggested how I got people, it helps that I do sales. So I'm used to hearing rejection all the time, so it doesn't bother me. But even if you're faking confidence, if you go and like pretend that you're more confident than you really are, if to the other person it looks like you're comfortable in your own skin, you're more attractive to them. And then, you know, Mr. Fleeks here is, you know, Rico Suave got the hard rock awesome look going. So then people just think that they're going to go on stage with him and rock out behind in the back room getting it on. So, you know.
Yeah. Being a front singer of a band surely helped too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Confidence and cleanliness are two very big factors. And then clean, just have something of value. Have a hobby. Have a passion. Have something that you enjoy that you can share with others.
Kind of, sort of on the subject, I do have a few things I'd like to say. And I know I haven't had a whole lot of experience like actually picking people up, so
still,
you know,
please, yes.
I have a whole load of like anxiety and self-confidence issues, and like really low self-esteem. And I'm not gonna lie or anything like that, but it's really, really easy to upset and hurt me. It really is. But recently, I've been getting better about that. And one of the things I've noticed is that talking to people is easy. Like, everyone's afraid of it. Everyone's nervous. You don't know what to say, but it's super, super easy. I am really, really good at making friends.
And I've got a piece of advice to follow this up.
And I feel like for pickups, it's probably similar, where, like, instead of going into the situation and, like, being nervous about it and awkward, you know, to say, and et cetera, and you're always thinking, like, I have that goal of trying to, like, pick somebody up and maybe make a relationship, start a relationship, right? Try not to approach it like that. Try to approach it like you're just trying to make a friend. And if you can make a friend with somebody and you have things in common and you keep seeing them, you can turn that into a relationship really easily because you have that connection. Your friends, you can make it deeper. It's just, it sounds super simple in my head. You just,
it's,
you know,
a good path
somebody
to go down.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
one step at a time.
If, you know, even if you, you know, try to make that next step and be like, hey, do you want to go out? And they're just like, I'm sorry, you're not really the type of person I go out with. You still have a friend. You're like, okay, that's cool. That's
exactly
really fine. Go ahead.
All right. And like even if you do, you know, like Gorda said, you get rejected and you do have a friend, you could maybe meet more people through that friend or their friend's friends. And you just keep making friends like that. And you can have this huge network of friends. And eventually, someone's going to connect with you. And you're going to get a relationship out of that if you just work towards it.
It does take persistence. The one thing I wanted to say was the best way to meet new people and get to know new people, I think I touched on a little bit before, but I didn't really delve into it, is ask questions. People fucking love to talk about themselves. And that's not a bad thing. That is in no way a bad thing. Get them to talk about themselves. Oh, ask them questions that they're confident about and ready to open up to. Like, ask them about their passions. Because if you can get them talking about the things that they love and get them excited, you're going to learn so much about them. You're going to have so many more questions you get to ask, just as follow-up questions to the first question. And then after, like, you know, 20 minutes of talking about themselves, they're going to kind of realize, like, oh, I don't know anything about this person. And then they'll start asking you questions, and then they'll return the favor, and you get to talk about yourself and your passions. And because they opened up first and you now have the higher ground, you're going to feel a lot more confident just being able to talk back and tell them about yourself, because you already know so much about them. And that's just how the dynamic goes. If you are willing to ask questions and listen, just be receptive and listen and acknowledge, you're going to have just an amazing network of friends. But you just have to have that in first initial contact and ask questions.
Yeah, and perfect is if you're also very interested in the life of other persons, like I am. I am really interested when people tell me about their lives, especially when they are coming from another country and stuff. It's very interesting. Or if they have a certain lifestyle, like I really enjoy to talk, for example, to transgender or to what else do we have? People, in general, people with a lifestyle that isn't my lifestyle, you know what I mean? That's so interesting to get to dive into their world. And so, yeah, I really love to do that. And your advice is really, it's true. I also like to talk about myself and about my own lifestyle and compare it with others and stuff.
I mean, in general, think about why you're listening to this podcast right now. You're talking about you're listening to three or four other people talk about their lives. Yeah.
Pretty much.
And my advice is just don't be an edgy asshole. Try to be nice. Treat people nicely. Try not to hurt them. Have respect. I mean, it sounds so simple, but some people don't seem to get the concept of being nice to people, you know what I mean? They seem like they have the idea of, well, I have to be super cool and I have to be an asshole and people like me. I mean, I personally, some kind of assholery I really find adorable. You know what I mean? I kind of like that if people are not like... not super nice people. I have a very special connection to... I have a lot of friends who are who are very disliked by other people because they are pretty mean, you know what I mean? Because they are like... But I see through them and know that they are actually nice people and they are pretty cool. But in general, don't make your first impression, hey, I'm an edgy shitlord. Hey, no, don't do that.
So, well, hello, Madame Angel. I'm Mr. Edgy Shitlord.
Nobody loves the internet trolls. That's not somebody you build up a connection to.
Like, troll or not, like, you know, your first impression is what matters to people, and I've been guilty of making some pretty bad first impressions, because I'm not trying to be edgy or trying to be, like, harsh, but a lot of the time, like, the things that, like, my first impression on people will be me being kind of unimpressed by them, and that's kind of a strong thing within the fandom, because, like, I don't know, I expect better behavior out of people than, you know, the licks and nuzzles you kind of bullshit you find at, like, meets and stuff. So, I don't necessarily shame that, but I just, like, wholeheartedly put up a wall and ignore it. Like, when that happens, I just kind of, like, disassociate. So, people who don't know me initially, like, their first contact with me, if that's something they try to pull, is, wow, he's kind of cold and kind of asshole-ish because he just doesn't even bother to talk back. Your first impression matters. You gave a bad first impression on me, so my first impression on you was also bad, you know? Like, do we have anything else about introducing yourself to someone, or can we move on to actually, you know...
birds.
Well, hang on. Before we get to the birds part, you got fleeks. Hang in there. Contain it. Push it down for just birds! A second.
I'm just kidding.
I think, based on what's being touched on, I agree in the sense that, you know, even me, going off the course set, I can sometimes come across as being a bit distant and sometimes an asshole. I really can, but deep down inside, I'm actually a mushy, soft, loving griffin. I really am. I'm just a mushy bastard. You've got to get through that initial layer, and the fastest way to get through that initial layer is to
food.
Not food works. Food works. Obviously, other things work too, but just showing me the real you and not just running up and, you know, giving me licks on my face and such without any form of provocation.
RP or IRL, don't do that.
Okay, especially IRL.
Your introductory to someone should not be, you know, anything RP related. Ever. At all. Don't do that. Go ahead, Fleeks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I got it. I will not lick Storm on first sight.
It depends on where you're licking. But anyways.
That's true. Jeez.
Before we get into that, what Core was saying a while ago now, if you engage somebody and they're telling you about themselves, don't do that and then not, like, actually listen to them. You have to listen and be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, it shows, and that's not going to make a good first impression. And speaking of, like, first impressions and what everyone was just talking about a second ago, I feel like for some people it's really, really hard to have a good first impression. And like, based on what Cor was saying a second ago, if you approach somebody and you're kind of awkward, or you like approach them with like an RP post, like is very common in the furry fandom, and then you just stonewall, yeah, that's going to be bad impressions from both sides, and it's not going to end well, right? And I understand how ridiculously hard it is to respond to something like that and be engaging, because I do that every single time it happens to me. I try my absolute hardest to be a nice, sweet person and just make friends with people. And there's been plenty of people in the past who I've wanted nothing to do with, and they've driven me absolutely fucking insane. And I still will engage them, and I'll talk with them, and I'll just do my best to, like engage them and just give them some sort of, like, attention and, like, friendship. Because I don't like being mean to people. It's one of my biggest fears. I hate upsetting people.
You'll find that there is kind of a line that, you know, you have to draw personally, though, with, like, yeah, you can be nice to everybody, but at some point you're also going to have to, you know, disconnect them from your life. Like, if there's someone who still approaches you, even though, like, you've kind of expressed a little bit of, like, there's nothing here to talk about between the two of us. Like, incompatibilities happen. Sometimes you just don't like people. That's okay. You just don't be mean to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So in that regard, you know, sometimes it is necessary to be like, hey, you know, you're sweet, but, like, there's nothing really here between us, so bye, kind of thing.
Because the reason that I have such a huge fear of, like, hurting people, I feel like I've kind of sort of maybe become like a, I wouldn't say a master, but I've become really good at doing what Cor was just talking about. If you know you're incompatible with somebody, even if it's just like a friendship, like, you know, you can't be friends with this person, it's not hard to just be nice to them. You don't have to completely cut them out of your lives and be a dick and stonewall them. I've only done that maybe like twice.
Yeah, even what I was talking about was kind of like extreme, like, I don't like you kind of things.
You don't have to do that. If you know that it's not going to work out, you can still be nice and, like, tell them, like, this isn't working. You just say things like, you know, you're a good guy, and I understand you're not fucking... Okay, I fucked up already. And then I lost my train of thought. Anyway, point is, you can still be nice to people and let them down. It's not super hard. You just have to think about what you're saying so you don't come across as, like, rude and brash, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't like you, but I appreciate your ways.
There are some people, I disagree, there are some people, I mean, what you're saying is nice and sweet, but in the furry fandom especially, there are some people you got to say, look, brother, you know, good luck. I know you're trying to make friends. It ain't working out between us. There's other fish in the sea.
But here's the thing. This is not the episode about making friends. Making friends is part of what we want to get to. So let's circle back and try to get into the meat of it again here. And I'll just blast open these doors because I think we're all a little bit shy to kind of delve into this because it is a personal topic. But sex. Let's talk sex really quick. Let's talk getting engaged with other people in that way. And the easiest way for me to do that is to kind of start with, like, again, circling back to hookup culture. The benefit of today's society is nerds are awesome because we have that initial value. We have something that we are really enthralled and enthusiastic about, be it, you know, World of Warcraft, be it, you know, the Marvel movies, me, myself, be it any number
Guardians
of things.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's coming out this May 5th. Oh my God. Tomorrow, man. Fucking tomorrow. I've got tickets already. Anyways. But we have these passions that we get into. And nerds are now sexy. It didn't used to be that way, but we are. So one of the best things to do is, you hear me give this advice in Bird Crew every, you know, now and then. Someone isn't feeling confident. They feel, you know, they've been kind of left out of the loop on how to hook up with people. Straight up, ask, but not in, like, a creepy way. Four words. Do you want to fuck? I guess that's technically three if you mash want two together into one word. But still, it does work. I've hooked up with quite a few people just because I finally got to a point, you know, where we had established a repertoire between us that I could just say that. I don't mean to say that it was, like, a difficult thing to set up. You know, you just follow the instructions we've given already and, you know, how to talk to people and how to make friends. And kind of once you've hit that wavelength of, like, communication, you can kind of go up to someone and be like, you know, you're cute, I'm cute, let's do it. And it works. So long as you are not, like, approaching a complete stranger with that line, you know, you have to have some established repertoire. But the thing is we are free enough in today's society and culture that you can do that, and it will work. So just have some confidence. And
confidence is sexy.
Hey, Fleeks, do you want to fuck?
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll see you later. Anyways.
I've done that. It took me a couple years to finally figure that out, but I've absolutely, once I figured out that magic trick, I've actually had people say, you know, normally I'm not sure I would be interested, but since you're bold enough to actually ask the question, and you do have to establish at least some rapport with them and such, but yeah, if you want to go for it and you think they may be interested, literally just ask them, you know, you want a yes, do you want to get it on? You could spin the words a little, but gauge their interest. Say, hey, you know, you interested in testing the bed sheets? Whatever you want to say. So be silly about it if you want to add a little humor, but it does work.
And straight up, even if you're cold approaching me in a bar and, you know, you have that confidence that you are just like, hey, you know what? You're cute. I kind of want to take you back to my place. You're probably not going to get me home that way, but I'm not going to be like, ugh, dude, what the? I'm still going to be like a little flattered, honestly. Like, you approach me and you're like, you actually like, you're cold approaching me and like, you have enough like self-esteem that you can approach me and be like, dude, let's fuck. That's not going to be, I'm not going to be insulted by that personally.
I just wanted to say the same. Like, absolutely, because it's really flattering if somebody wants to, like, finds you attractive enough to have, like, sexual activities with you. Exactly. Just my addition.
Sexual activities.
Proceed! Proceed, Raven.
The one thing that I wanted to say is, it gets easier with age. And I'm not talking like, oh, by the time you're 50, you're just going to be, like, rolling in, like, you know, you're going to be, like, balls deep in everything. No, well, probably. You might be. I don't know. I hear things get like, you know, I hear the single scene at 50 is actually pretty damn good, but I'm talking, you know, you're 18, you're 19 now, you're going to be struggling to, you know, hook up with anybody unless you are just so suave that you can. Chances are you're not, because you're a socially awkward furry. Congratulations. But as you get a little bit older, you know, you're going to find the hooking up with people and finding the confidence gets easier and easier, especially with practice.
Thank you for your advice.
No, really, I had an 18-year-old come up to me and actually engage in conversation just briefly and snuggled up and nibbled my neck and literally posed the question. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, society is old.
Yeah, I have to admit, I got something similar too. I was like,
and this is not just between guys and guys. Like, okay, so I'm sorry, one last interruption here because it's very important. The big hang up that a lot of people seem to have is like they think that it's like largely a gay culture kind of thing. Like, guys are just confident and easy to get down with. Yeah, they are. They totally are. But it is that way with girls too. Like, girls need loving, man. Well, like, don't be shy.
No, I was on a, like, a German furry dating site that's not only for datings but also for finding friends and stuff. And I got a message from some person that was like, hey, I'm a sub. I would like you to dominate me. And that kind of turned me off. Like it was like...
Cold approaches from the internet complex, because like, you can't see their face and you know nothing about them.
His face was actually his profile pic, but I was like, no, that's a bit too cheap. And it probably was a serial male because it wasn't even like going on me, hey, you sexy fox, because I was a fox at that time. It was like just like, yeah, oh man, oh, I see you have a profile here, and I just try. Maybe I can find you to dom me. And
Yeah, that's just someone who's just thrown themselves out to the wind, and it's not necessarily that they have confidence or anything about it. Yeah. It's that they're desperate, and that's not attractive. You need confidence, and you need to be clean. Really, you got those two things, as well as, you know, you are a somewhat polite person. You're going to be rolling in it. Seriously. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Take a bath. Get some confidence. Have some passion about something. Go talk to people.
So,
but confidence comes from experience, so you've got to be willing to try. And you got to be willing to accept the fact
that you're going to fail.
You're going to fuck up. You're going to have water splashed in your face. You're going to be called nasty names from some people.
Those are very extreme circumstances. It may happen, but more likely, you know, the worst rejection you're going to get is no. And if you can accept the fact that people are going to say no, you'll be just fine.
So, anything else, Cor, you want to talk about that's not bird related?
No, I feel kind of bad for walking over Storm on that, though. Storm, did you have anything you wanted to add?
All I wanted to add is, you know, we already touched on it, and basically, as long as you are willing to try, you're willing to pose the question, you're willing to accept that there may be a rejection in the process, your odds of success go up tremendously when you're actually willing to try. Because if you just sit at the bar at the end of the day or at the con, you know, in a chair, expecting people to come up to you, yeah, it might happen, but odds are you're not going to get what you want when you're just sitting on the sidelines. You actually got to get in the game.
And just to kind of reiterate, like, so Tweets, you said yourself, you're relatively a very shy person, and to do something like this would be very out of your comfort zone. But to, you know, all the general listeners out there, you can't be afraid of rejection. It's nothing. Having someone say no or kind of scoff at you a little bit holds no value to anything in this world. So you got rejected, big deal, pick yourself up, move on. Whatever the hang-up is that you are feeling inside when, you know, you're faced with a piece of rejection, you got to learn to swallow that and move on, because it's so pointless to let that fear drive you, you know?
I have something to add to this before we move on to any other subject or anything like that. But I think for me, the reason that a fear of rejection, or the reason I would have a fear of rejection if I wasn't already in a relationship, would be because I am constantly afraid of what other people around me think of me.
Why?
It's one of my hugest anxieties. Because it's an anxiety. It's irrational. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things that's like, I'm always afraid of like people's like image of me. I can't explain it. It's completely irrational. It's because of anxiety.
Okay. What can you do What can you do? Like when you're feeling that pressure on you, when someone is, when you're trying to talk to someone and you're sitting there going, oh God, they don't like me, they don't like me, they don't like me, what's the matter? What can you do to get your mind over that?
One second, Cor. I'm gonna move on to that. First, okay. I'll answer you, then I'll continue what I was saying, okay? First of all, when I feel like that, if it's a one-on-one with somebody, it's a lot easier for me to cope with it, because, like, okay, they don't like me. It's not necessarily, like, my fault. It could be, but I'm not going to beat myself up over that and let it ruin my whole day. If somebody doesn't like me, they don't like me. I can accept that pretty quickly. So I'm not sure how to tell other people to deal with that, because for me, it's not a huge issue. What worries me is what everyone around who could be seeing what happens thinks of the situation. And it's a totally irrational fear. And that's how I kind of can connect myself mentally to how a rejection might feel, because that's the only way I can think of it, because I haven't actually experienced it myself.
So it's the social pressure of, you know, people possibly watching the situation go down.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, once again, I don't have experience with this, so I don't know. I don't have a fear of rejection myself, and I don't understand it fully. But if I can relate it to the anxieties I have socially, what I would say to people is, you shouldn't worry about it, because people don't pay attention. And the reason I know people don't pay attention is because of some personal experiences, which I I'm not going to get into that because I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I know there have been things that have happened to me in the past, as with everybody, I'm sure, that you're like, oh my god, people who saw that are going to think so-and-so is so embarrassing, right?
And no one was watching.
Also, yeah. But there's also a story I read on the internet a while ago where somebody literally snuck a ball python, I think it was, onto a bus, and this snake was pissed, right? And they snuck it in on a plastic bag, and no one fucking noticed. People don't pay attention to shit like that. People are doing their own thing, talking to the people that they're with, they're on their phones in this day and age, or they're just off in their own zone. Very rarely will you come across somebody who is just going to actively talk to a stranger or pay attention to what they're doing or care. So if you do get rejected and there are onlookers, they aren't going to give a shit. There's not going to be people judging you or looking at you as it happens and like sneering or giggling, exactly, or making comments. It just doesn't happen. They don't care. So you shouldn't worry too much about the impact that's going to have to the people around you. Just focus on the person you're talking to. And if they reject you, it's just most likely going to be a simple no. And you can work with that. Maybe you can still be friends, or you can just leave them be and apologize and be like, all right, I'm sorry for bothering you. Have a good day.
Preach.
That's all I have.
No, you're right. But
the fear of social rejection is a problem a lot of people share. I still deal with it. And one of the ways I deal with it is just basically to refocus myself and force myself to keep putting one paw forward at a time. And eventually you just kind of, for me at least, you just kind of get over it and life goes on. But most people I would like to say want to just be, they want to feel accepted. They want to feel welcome within at least their community at large, with the people they hang out with in general. And when you see a rejection or you get rejected, and you're afraid, because if it's in an area especially or a group of people that normally know you, talked about you, etc., that it would harm your overall reputation with that group. It's a very real anxiety, but in the long run, just like tweets said, unless it's you do something epically insane, people aren't going to remember.
I have one thing to add to what Storm just said, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right, so Storm, what you just said, I understand that fear. I do. If you're with like a people that like could see that happen, and then it would affect your like standing with them or whatever, right? I totally understand that. But if you're hanging around people like that, where you have to worry about your image to them, if you get rejected, maybe you shouldn't be hanging out with those people. Maybe you need to find a better group of friends, because like, real friends are people who are going to support you after something like that, not laugh behind your back and think it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Unless they're really, really good friends, in which the circumstances, you did something embarrassing, we're going to shame you, make it worse, and then show you that you can totally survive this.
Exactly.
I'm not referring into friends as much as I am just the community.
One thing I wanted to say is just when you are feeling these social pressures, when you have this anxiety going on, one, understand we all get social anxiety. I think kind of the way we've been portraying it is that, you know, only certain few people have social anxiety. So, like, some people have it very severely. Don't get us wrong. We totally acknowledge that. But everybody has social anxiety. Every one of us. Every person out on the streets that you'd see, walking by, has some level of social anxiety where, you know, they're embarrassed to, you know, do things themselves. So we're not immune. There are coping mechanisms. And I think the biggest first step coping mechanism you can do to help alleviate that social pressure is take a deep breath. I know that sounds like absurdly simple, like, you know, homeopathic level simple, but honestly, oxygen's good for the brain. It helps you think more critically. It helps you move, like, it helps you keep those gears moving. And when you're in these situations where you're stressed, you're not breathing as much. So if you can just remember this one thing from this entire episode is if you're feeling pressure, take a second. Okay, I'm good. You may not be good, but you'll have a little more oxygen flowing through your brain, and you can handle the situation better.
Add to the topic, to the whole thing that was mentioned, I actually had the experience of like two people in my life who actively did not like me. Like they actively, oh no, I totally, and I was like shattered, you know what I mean? I was like, why? I don't get it. I was nice to you and stuff, but it just happens if people don't like you, they find a reason. If people don't want to like you, they find a reason to not like you.
That's just
a thing. So, and you have to live with it. So, and I can live with it. So, if you don't like me, well, I can do anything against it. And, well, just it's your way. So do it. Exactly. But generally, I really try to. I not actively try people to like me, but I'm just. You know, exactly, that's a thing you have really to do, and that's be yourself. I mean, it sounds really like be yourself. What that's a like a very cheesy term and a very cheesy thing to say, be yourself. But it's true. Just be yourself. If you act, people notice. People will, and if you be the most I get out of the most friends I get is with just being myself. That's just. I don't know, just behaving myself like right. I feel comfortable with.
And yeah, we understand. Storm, right. Did you have one last thing you wanted to add?
Yep, just one last thing, and it's basically touching on what Fleeks just said. If you go out to try to put on a mask to allow people to see what you think they want, short of it being some kind of stand-up skit in front for a show or something, that's different. But when you're out in public in general interacting with people, being yourself is the best way to do it, because then the people that like you are going to like you for you, and that is going to lead to far more genuine relationships, friendships, etc., than you'll ever get if you're trying to pretend to be something you're not.
Yeah, you don't want people falling in love with your mask. You want them to fall in love with you. Tweets. So, no, not tweets. Fleeks. Mix you two up, even though one's German and one is totally American.
It happens all the time, tweets and fleeks. That confusion, that's just too much ease.
Too many ease. Too confusing.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about birds now?
Yeah, we want to talk about birds. Yeah, tweets you missed. We actually have a Patreon, and you can, like, pledge for us, and every new Patreon gets an I think everybody
who donates over $5 we sing a song to.
Yeah,
like
$5
a full song.
A song or some poem or whatever,
or in Juko's case songs. I made the two other co-hosts sing because he really really did not want us to write a song about him. Okay.
We should have done it anyways.
Fleeks, I did send you the at for that person via Telegram.
So it's Moria.
Yes.
You know what? I really want to go and just donate a bunch of money to this now, so I can hear a song from you guys.
Yeah, and if you donate just a dollar a month, then you get access to the Bird Life News episodes, which we haven't done for like 2 weeks because
we
suck.
Yeah, we should. We should do that again someday.
What if I just immediately donated $20?
Here's the thing. I kind of there's a little bit of justification in the fact that we haven't done the Bird Life News because we have done like hour and a half to 2 hour long episodes for the past 3 weeks. And the episodes themselves are like supposed to be like an hour to an hour, 10 minutes tops. We eat up all of our spare time doing these extra bits.
I have a question.
Yes.
All right, so you both went silent, and I wasn't sure if that was just like...
we were waiting for the question.
So, who sets the limit on the time for the episodes? Is that like... Is there like an actual limit that someone has set and you have to adhere to it? Or
We aim for an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, because when we're going in an hour and a half like we are now, it takes roughly 4 hours to edit 1 hour of content.
All right.
And I do this during my downtime at work, because that's the only other free time I get to do it. So that's like why the episodes have been late also, because I've had to use like 2 shifts worth of downtime to finish an episode. All right.
So to come to Moria, I will improvise something. I don't know where this goes, but it will probably be one sentence, and maybe you may sing along with me as soon as 2 sentences.
No.
Like, Moria, you are so wunderbar.
Flakes.
Moria.
Reg Day got a full song. Juko got both of you guys singing the anthem. All right.
But yeah, okay. Then
if you donate to us via Patreon, we will write you a full song. Not what Fleeks is trying to slide under the radar here.
Okay. Then I will write a full song, and I need to get extra drunk next week.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
But hang in there, Moria. You're gonna get a song about you.
Moria, you are so wunderbar.
It's going to be cheesy college-style poetry. Are we going to snap at the end?
Yeah, we will snap at the end. And and I will make a very catchy chorus so you can sing along with me. Chorus.
Okay. I totally will.
So, let's move on. So, we all have bird characters, but how would your bird character, like, Dustin, mating display? You know, how would they go along?
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I'm just reminded of a comic that, like, explains crows' mating displays. And it's like, the male goes up to the female and starts singing. And then the next scene, you see them mating, and the announcer's like, and crows are known to have very low standards. It's pretty much true.
Wow.
Actually, no, I wouldn't say my standards are low. I actually kind of have.
Aren't you a raven, not a crow?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it was like ravens or crows that they were talking about.
They are pretty similar, so.
Well, for
crows are bros. For,
yeah, they are. For griffins, especially Storm, it would be.
So,
I feel like you only say that because it rhymes. Sorry.
But I do adore crows. And well, magpies. We're all family. We gotta love
speaking
each other.
Of, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Speaking of, I saw 2 magpies on my way to work. Got it. Yeah.
Yay. Okay, go ahead, Storm.
So.
First for mating display, or to lure in a partner, it would be a combination of a slow strut and, you know, showing off the physique and all the bits and such. But then, depending on how hard they wanted to get or how much he wanted them, he would also head bob and sing.
Oh, the head bobbing is very important. You gotta have a good head bob, man.
Head bob, man.
Absolutely.
If you can't head bob, like, you don't deserve to get laid.
Especially as a bird.
You know what? Straight up, if you're going to BLFC, hit me up. I will head bob for you. If you don't know how to head bob, I will teach you the head bob. Okay?
Okay, now you're making me want to... Now I'm going to have to twist somebody's arm to get time off, because I got to be there for this.
Storm and I will do a head bob teaching sessions. It won't be a panel. It won't be a panel. It'll just be kind of off in like the corner of the area, because we haven't registered in time, but head bobbing, okay? Like, it's happening.
If I
you can't see it right now, but I'm actually head bobbing into my microphone.
if I like go with my species stereotypes, it would be like being fucking loud, so that somehow fits. Like woodpeckers find out that they can impress like female woodpeckers with pecking rain drain. You know what I mean? Those on the houses, the metal pipes, you know, they just peck against that because it's super loud.
Oh, okay. So you're not even going to bother screeching. You're just going to slam your face against hard objects until a woman falls in love with you.
Yeah, especially rain pipes, yeah.
There's so many questions, Score.
That really does.
So I would probably be just fucking loud, and since I was a singer of a metal band, that somehow fits. So yeah, but it would be more fitting if I would have been a drummer. You know what I mean? Just imagine I would take on a bass drum.
Okay, you know what I mean? I was saying like okay, I get it because you're a woodpecker, but I mean think for just a second here, Fleeks. Drummers never get laid. Drummers are like the lamest person of the band.
You're
a metronome could do
confusing,
their job.
You're confusing the drummer with the bassist, with the bass player.
Core, I have to also disagree because my sister is married to a drummer, and as far as I know, he gets laid a lot.
I was going to say a really mean joke, and like, well, your sister has really low standard. No, not that mean. I wouldn't say that.
So, Yeah, the drummer, actually the drummers get laid a lot. The guitarists probably get laid. Actually, everyone in the band gets laid except the bass player. And maybe the keyboard player.
They fuck guitarists. That is not music, okay? No, you're not contributing anything to the band.
You want to know who gets... Hey, you want to go out and know who gets laid the most in like a band group?
The singer.
The stage crew. The stage crew gets laid a ton because people think they can use that to get leverage to get access to backstage and such to meet the band.
Fair.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. But tweets, what is your mating? What's your character's mating this? I bet it contains tails.
I will neither confirm nor deny until I start speaking.
Okay, then start speaking and confirm or deny.
Oh my god. I don't know. I haven't really thought a whole lot about it. I guess it depends. If we wanted to stay true to the species, according to Wikipedia, which I honestly have open in a separate window right now.
Cool.
It would either be like some like weird, super like high flying display with weird flight patterns and like guttural croaking, which if you guys haven't heard a secretary bird's noises, they're fucking weird, man. It doesn't sound real.
It doesn't sound like something they would make.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. For the type of bird, it's like it's like you look at this like regal, weird, fucking like tall raptor, right? And you're like, oh, that's really pretty. I wonder what kind of noises it makes. And it doesn't screech like a falcon or make weird fucking peeping noises like an eagle or nothing like that. It croaks. It sounds like a fucking pissed off frog and it's super loud. And I will show you guys a video after this. I swear to God, it's weird as hell.
Well, here, let's think about this just from a different standpoint really quick. If we didn't already know the iconic call of turkeys, like if this was your first time encountering a turkey in the wild, I don't think the sound that they make would be expected at all. Like you would see the bird make that sound and be like, what the fuck is wrong with that bird?
Yeah, probably. And that's exactly how you should look at it when you're thinking about secretary birds, because they don't look like they should make the sound they do. Anyway, moving on. It would either be that, or it would be like a ground display where it's basically like they chase each other around like they do when they're hunting prey. That's apparently what the species does. But for Tweets, because he's such a shy... small individual, it'd probably be more like
I imagine him
mating display. I can't think like a hookup. I have to think like an actual display. Okay, so if Tweets wanted to do a display for somebody he liked, he'd probably flare his wings and crest, and his tail would arch up above his head and flare the fan, and then he'd probably do like a stupid little dance and hope that something good happened.
So peacocks. You would peacock.
Basically. Yes,
I would imagine Tweets like chewing on it, like holding his tail and chewing a bit on it, and I would be sold.
No, Tweets would do all that, and then he would have a fresh cup of coffee standing right there in one of the paws, and then we'd be perfect.
Oh yeah, I got to actually fulfill my role as a secretary, even though that's not what I am. Yep,
exactly. Exactly.
So, I thought you were supposed to be secretary to the executive. How did you become secretary to chief of security?
He's really large and intimidating. Ask him.
Storm, I want my secretary back. I've got papers piling up over here, man.
Hey, we can share him.
Is he stealing me like Tiersel steals all your femboys? Is that what's going on?
Oh.
Yes.
You're just another stolen femboy.
Oh. It's okay, Core. Hey, I love you too.
Tirsa and I, we have a competition going. We steal them back and forth.
And yeah, now we talk like about our own bird mating this place, and I actually prepared a quiz to bird mating this place, to the mating behavior of birds, to be exact. And yeah, I want to play a game with you. I want to make a quiz with you. I have questions with you, multiple choice, single choice questions. I give you four possible answers, and you have to pick the right one.
Is this team or is this against each other?
I think we do a team play because of the time.
Okay, guys, huddle around, gather together.
Okay, you have to decide an answer. And
Storm, get your hand off my ass.
But it's so nice.
And the question we got is... the question I got, I made them up, yeah, is, you all know the Let Me Smash meme, right?
Yes.
And did you ever, the question I have for you is, what kind of birds are Ron and Becky actually?
I know.
Okay.
Are they A,
Ash bowerbirds, B, satin bowerbirds, C, night bowerbirds, or D, black bowerbirds?
You made it too specific. All I know is the second part. I was not prepared.
Damn it, Flick.
Okay, what was the first one again?
Ash bowerbirds? Or satin bowerbirds? Or night bowerbirds, or black bowerbirds.
You didn't even do the thing where you gave us like a freebie, like, oh no, it couldn't possibly be that one answer.
Fleeks, I'd like to use a lifeline. I'd like to use 50-50.
Okay, I give you a 50-50 chance. And that's B, satin bowerbirds, or D, black bowerbirds.
I want to go with a D. I was thinking it was either A or D myself.
I'm also going to go with D.
It's all the D, so it's got to be D.
And you're wrong.
You're wrong, yeah. You're wrong. It's satin bowerbirds.
Rip.
And actually, I had... No, I will tell you that at the end of the show. So, yeah. The fun fact is... By the way, fun fact. Juvenile satin bowerbirds look all like the feeble ones, and that causes a lot of confusion between those birds, because... just imagine you're a young male bowerbird.
There's no sexual dimorphism.
On the lookout. It is. There's absolutely one, but the juvenile look like the bird. The juvenile all look the same. And... Yet now just imagine you're a young male bowerbird on the lookout for a female, and then all you get is those adult males flirting with you, and you're like, hey, man, no homo.
Either that or you give in, and you're like, okay, little homo.
Yeah, so they're actually flirting with them, and then if they check, hey, they are other males, oh, fuck, I destroyed their nest. And that's what you actually see when a bowerbird destroys his nest, is fuck this nest, you know? That's because it was the nest of an other adult male. A juvenile bowerbird that looked like a female, and the male was like, oh, fuck, it tricked me. Ah.
So, must be really frustrating to be a bowerbird.
Yeah, yes. It is. Yeah. Especially a young bowerbird. If you're not black.
Next question.
Male. What is the kink of female frigate birds?
What?
A, transforming?
No, yeah, hey, what circle is back. Kink? What was the question again? Because, what?
Okay, again. What is the kink of female frigate birds? Or more or less, what turns female frigate birds on?
Okay.
Now, if you remember what a frigate bird is. Can you take the question
out? The question was, what is the king of female frigate birds? And the possible answers I give you is A, transformation, B, screaming, C, inflation, D, oral.
Inflation.
Inflation. That's the
I
first
think they're
thing
one
I
of the birds
too.
That puffs up really big.
Yeah.
What are you saying, tweets?
I need to think about it for a second, because I have no clue what a frigate bird is, so... I'm gonna play it safe, and if
they're birds
I
that
fail...
carry very large boxes from one area to another across the Atlantic.
if I fail, then everyone else fails too. So I'm just gonna go with frigate bird, just to, or not frigate bird, the puffing up. Wow.
Well, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong. They are really liking other frigate birds, but yeah, you know, inflation is right.
Going so well so far, I don't think.
Yeah, C is right. You got it right. Male frigate birds have like those red kidney-shaped pouches on their chest, and they inflate it like balloons to attract girls.
I knew
that's
I was
what that
right.
is. Okay.
Oh, hey,
so yeah, the question was a bit tricky. So maybe I should
look at my balloon. Isn't it sexy?
But you did well. So. What fact about female ducks is true besides they are getting fucking raped? A. Ducks are some of the few birds that are giving birth to living chicks. B. Ducks have the biggest egg body ratio. Like their eggs are, for their body size, they have the biggest eggs in relation. C. The female destroys eggs that have a wrong color or a sick color. D. The female's oviduct has sacs and dead ends that can hold and expel unwanted sperm.
I'm leaning towards D. I know B is false because that would be the kiwi.
I think it's D. I really do. Because if they get raped all the time, they got to have a way of getting rid of the sperm.
It's either C or D, and I'm not 100% sure.
I'm almost 100 on D.
I'll go with D.
And you're right. As you all know, and as I hinted already on it, ducks have a reputation for being... They are monogamous, but the females are often get like gang raped by the males. And this behavior is like so ingrained in ducks, in their genetics, that the female's oviduct has sex and dead ends that can like hold and expel unwanted sperm. And scientists like theorize that she can like unblock her oviduct if so inclined, and that means that she usually ends up with the desired Drake's duckling. So she will get kids of the one she wants. So the raping is just fun. I don't know.
I don't think it's ever fun.
We don't appropriate that.
No.
I guess the males just get their rocks off, and that's all they care about.
Yeah. That's the reason why ducks got penises, because if they got penises, they have more higher probability of fertilize the female, despite her.
Her magic ability.
Oh, ducks act with that, except her dead ends.
I learned a fact about ducks that actually appealed to me, and I was kind of scared.
All right, next question.
Also, how are grebes spending their first dates? A.
Okay.
Synchron dancing. B. Charade. C. All you can eat. Or D. Karaoke.
What kind of bird?
Grebes.
Grebe?
They're really obnoxious birds that fly over lakes, and if you catch something, they oftentimes will swoop down and grab the fish off of your hook, or accidentally grab the hook themselves, so instead of catching a fish, you caught a bird. It's happened to me twice now.
Alright.
It's really awkward reeling in a bird, by the way. Just, that's not an experience that I was comfortable or ready to have.
That poor bird.
I'm sure it tasted good on the dinner table.
Anyway, the full question was, what?
How are they spending their first date?
Their first date?
Yeah. A. Synchron dancing. B. Charade. C. All you can eat. Or D. Karaoke.
I'm not sure what you're saying B is, but I'm going to go with A as well.
So what did you pick? Decide one.
Are you saying they go out for Euros? Gyros? Whatever those Greek things are? A. I'm going
Heroes.
With A.
Hero.
A.
Choose A. What the hell?
I guess I'll choose A because everyone else is, and I forgot what the selection was. To
peer
be honest.
Pressure.
So yeah, you're all deciding on A, and that's right. They are like imitating each dance. So it's one of the few birds where both are like involved in the dancing.
That's pretty cool.
And
like blue-footed boobies.
Aww, they're cute when they do that.
And at the end, yeah, you like answer 3 out of 4 questions right, and I'm very proud of you.
Yay.
But now I have a final question that's a competition for you. So now everyone against everyone. Because
when exactly are we
going to
get our ornithologist badges? Or ID cards?
I probably never will, because I don't know shit about birds.
Oh.
I'm a terrible bird.
Yeah, now we have like a final question for you, and that's a guessing question. And I love to do them. And every one of you has to tell me a number in inches to make it easier. In inches. Argentine lake ducks do have the longest bird penis. But how long
Jesus.
Is it? How long is it? How long is it maximum? Like
3 inches.
Measured.
4 inches, Bob.
Storm says 3 inches. Core says, what did Core say?
4 inches.
4 inches. What are you saying, tweets?
I'm going to say about 13 to 14.
19 inches. No.
What did you say?
Me?
13 inches. Or
13 to 14 inches.
Okay. And tweets is the closest because the Argentine lake duck actually has 17 inches of cock.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I knew that already because I'm fucking weird. They have their dick is like twice as long as their body. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Are they basically the sea cucumbers of the bird world?
What the hell?
Actually, I'd say they're basically the barnacles of the bird world.
That's what I meant. I don't know why I said sea
and
cucumbers.
Tweets. You earned yourself a fun fact about hedge sparrows. Everybody else, don't listen, because that's like Tweet's prize now. Do you know the hedge sparrow? That's a mostly monogamous bird, and the female often or sometimes keeps the second male on hand who like lurks in bushes and waiting for the mate to turn his back. And when he does, she lets him copulate with her, and that process is like more like a bumping of genitals. And then after that, the things get really weird. The first mate comes back, then she displays herself to him, and he pokes her at the genitals until the other male sperm spurts out, and then the two birds have sex, ensuring that it's probably her mate's egg, her first mate's egg in the nest. And why they do this has a simple reason, because both the mate and the misinformed adulterer will like help the female feed the chicks. So she got more support to that.
Okay, so I know I wasn't supposed to be listening to that, but that sounds like, okay, so it's fluffing, and then it's they're stuck with child support, both of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a thing that I don't think I can share publicly with the rest of the crew. So
say it right here on Bird Life on air.
Right here on air on Bird Life, but I can't share it with the rest
Let's
of the
it.
Crew, which means
right
I
now.
Can't share it with the audience.
What is it? Tell us your secrets.
It's a thing that melded upon Tiersel's request involving Ucor.
What?
A Melmel?
I know you're talking about the photoshopped cuckold comic from.
I didn't see this. What?
I didn't see this. It was posted in the. Oh my god! Hang on, Core. I'll send it to you. Give me a second.
Put it in the Discord. Oh god.
I will. Hang on.
Anyways, do we want to move on to questions?
Yeah, to the user questions, to the listener questions.
Yeah, it was fluffing, cuckolding, and then child support.
All right.
Okay.
I have the picture ready, but I borrow you too.
All right, Cora, I just sent it directly to you. Take a look right now on Telegram.
Okay, we're taking a short break to show Cora what he missed.
Fuck you guys.
It was requested by Tiersel, but
well, of course it was requested by Tiersel, because he's like taken everyone but me except Polygon, and Polygon is my bae.
Hey, Cora, if it helps at all, I really, really like you, and I wouldn't mind doing things with you, so.
Aww.
What about me, Tweet? Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I don't know. Do you want it to be, like, an emotional experience, or do you just want me to be a slut? Because I'm kind of both.
Why not both?
Okay, cool. I'm both.
An emotional slut.
Yeah, take there me out.
Isn't that the worst kind, though? Isn't that the kind you don't want?
No, it just means I'll get attached and we'll actually have a good bonding experience and maybe we'll stay friends after, but we are just doing it for the sex.
Okay.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, this is getting cut out. Don't worry. questions.
Yes.
Take the
first
best
question.
Ones.
All right. Yes, I'm narrowing it down. First question comes from Feedy, and the question is, what is love for you? How did you experience it? Your meaning of love.
Don't hurt me no more. Don't hurt me no more.
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
What have I started? Okay, don't anyways. Hurt me. What was the question one more time? Because that song got stuck in my head.
What is love for you? How did you experience it? Your meaning of love.
Wow, love is a that's lie. Like a really hard a question to answer.
No, I'm just kidding.
I go right to the meat and potatoes here. Obviously, Feedy, for me, it's obviously theme songs. But aside from that, it, in all seriousness, love for me is stability. It's the best of friendship, the best of stability, the best of dependability. Love for me is basically taking your best friend and everything you love about having a best friend and making it go from best friend to a place that is love. It's that they're always in your corner, no matter good days, bad days, sickness, health, they're always going to be there for you. And they're the definition of dependability. And it's knowing they're always in your corner. That's love to me.
I kind of got a piggyback right onto that because I agree.
Yeah, same.
Love is like really undefinable. Like categorically, you can't just say like, "Oh, well, love is this for me." It's more like, "What do you love about who you're with at that time?" And like, you can experience love with multiple people. I'm not necessarily talking polyamory. I'm talking just like, you know, multiple relationships, you know, different times in your life. But I mean, polyamory is one as well. You're going to love different things about different people, and that's what you're going to fall in love with about them.
Yeah. Also, love for me is somebody I would want to combine my genes with because I know we would have a few together.
You know, like the proper German, like he wants to make Germany strong.
No, I mean on an emotional base.
Yeah.
Silly core. I mean like somebody I would imagine like, oh, I would fucking have kids with you, damn it. That's somebody I love. Or in other cases, it's like, hey man, you're totally adding quality to my life. You make me feel safe and secure.
Way to be German and all utilitarian about it. Jesus Christ, man.
That first one sounded really upset, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I have to have kids with you? Shit, this is a huge inconvenience.
Well, sometimes it can be that way, like, oh, fuck. You're really hot, and you're really cool, and I really like you, and God damn it, I kind of want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Exactly, and that involves in my future plans kits or meanwhile I say it depends. I don't
little baby that. Fleekies.
Yeah.
Mini baby.
The world will never be the same.
Or griffins if I mate with a man.
All right, so is it my turn now? Is that what the deal is?
Yes. Yeah, what is love? Tweets right. Enlighten us. What is love?
So the full question was, what is love for you and something else, right?
Yeah, yes. Just what is love? What is love? Tweets.
Just what is love? All right. Well, crap. All right, so I know I'm already in a relationship, but for me...
But if I was to date someone else, I would be looking for... No, I'm sorry.
Love for me is basically like... Just someone who I can, like, I know for a fact I could spend the rest of my time with and, like, not lose my mind. Like, imagine, like, a really, really good friend. Somebody who you love hanging out with, and every opportunity you get to hang out with them, doesn't matter what you're doing, you're like, yeah, I'll do it. I want to hang out with you. You're my best friend. It's like that.
But on top of it, you get a bone down.
Yeah, that... obviously, but also it's like, instead of just like, oh, they called you up and they want to hang out and you automatically want to do it, it's like you're literally living with them and 24/7 you're with them, interacting with them all the time, unless you're at work and you work separate jobs, you know. That is kind of like how my idea of love is.
I'd say that's accurate. Yeah.
that's actually exactly what I think too.
And if I'm going to be perfectly honest, there's quite a few people in my life who I could imagine doing that with, to be perfectly honest. But I've already dedicated myself to someone, so I'm sorry to all of those people who don't know who you are that I'm talking about.
No, sucks to be them. Storm, next question.
All right, so we have lots of good questions, but for time, I have to narrow it down.
We'll save some of them to next week.
Right. Yeah. We have... All right, so two more questions then. Here's the question. Would you rather be seduced by 20 hummingbird-sized peacocks or by one peacock-sized hummingbird?
Why not both?
Why are we going with these, like... miniature to large hummingbirds? Why is this a trending theme?
Ask a listener. I don't know. but my answer was, this is not even a decision. This is just a question. I couldn't decide because both seems very okay. You know what I mean? That's not like two bad options. That's
well, like, gotta pick like one. Two... Gotta pick one.
You know, I totally get it. Like, I kind of... Even as a raven, I would totally bone down with a peacock. Like, hell yeah. Those things are, like, the most confident, attractive, like, birds in the entire society. Okay?
So you would go down with a peacock-sized hummingbird?
But, well, that's just it. Like, I don't know if I would, but I certainly wouldn't want, like, 100 hummingbird-sized peacocks. Like, this is, like... For Fleeks, this is like a both yes question. For me, this is like a both, I don't know, no thank you question. But I would because I don't think I could handle 100 hummingbird-sized peacocks.
If I had to decide, I would like one peacock-sized hummingbird,
yeah,
probably. I like long beaks.
I could tell.
Snark.
And what about you, Tweets?
100% got to go with the peacock-sized hummingbird. Just because, I mean, I'm super gay, right? So I'm going to pretend that the only hummingbird of that size that would hit on me would be male. And those iridescent, pretty feathers are kind of super attractive.
They are also jerks.
They're jerks? What? How?
Hummingbirds are jerks.
No, man. Hummingbirds are adorable. All they do
they're
is
adorable,
they
but they're
around.
Total assholes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We didn't cover that. That was part of the Bird Life News episode that we talked about how bad hummingbirds actually are.
Alright, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. I haven't been following that well, so my bad. I'm sorry, but still, gotta go with the hummingbird.
Yeah. You don't have anything against sharks, I guess.
I mean, I'm nice to everybody. If they start abusing me, then it's gonna be a problem. If they're just an asshole, I mean, I live with one, so whatever.
Ooh.
Shout out to Mike.
Again. Okay. All right.
I actually love him. Don't get me wrong. Right. I do. I love him.
Yeah, that was also my what I was playing on, by the way.
All right.
So, of course, you like hummingbirds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Shade.
And, yeah, Storm, what's your opinion on the question?
Oh, I'd get the peacock-sized hummingbird because I'd rather deal with one angry shit than 20 of them.
I think we're all in agreement there.
I would just stroke the 20 hummingbird-sized peacocks. I would like adore them. I would hold them in my hand, and I would be like, "Oh,
they would be super cute." Adorable. And you know, because it's a peacock, they'd be super gentlemanly. But there's 20 of them. Can't
would their
handle
metabolism
that.
Be the same as a hummingbird, though? Would they be like super, super fast heartbeat and constant like attention seeking, or no? Or not attention seeking, but like, would they be super high maintenance?
They all would be lawyers or judges or prosecutors.
Or street corner prostitutes.
If they'd be super high maintenance, yeah. Then yeah, once again, that just supports my like peacock sized hummingbird, because when they're super small, you know, they got super, super high maintenance. Always have to be moving, always have to be fed, otherwise they fucking die in like an hour or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Ready for the last question?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. This is a challenge. The challenge is come up with a unique pickup line specific to your bird sona by Soul Ember.
Yeah, God. That's pretty easy for me. And I would just say something like, may I peck you? Or may I peck for you?
Oh, for Storm, it would be one of two. It would either be, oh, I really like your balls.
What the fuck? Just imagine somebody comes to you and says, oh, man, I really like your balls.
Or
okay, so everything that we talked about earlier about confidence and how to approach people and talk to people and, you know, flattering people in the bar, don't do that. Do not do that.
Unless they're playing pool, then you can maybe work a joke into it.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. In a pool bar, it's good. In a pool bar, you're good.
But in all seriousness, any commenting on Storm's body, especially his head feather or crest feathers, his V fur, something like that will really, you'll get his attention very nicely.
But isn't the challenge supposed to be that you're supposed to come up with a new, like, pickup line that your sona would use, like, based on them?
Not used on you. Used on.
Huh.
Yeah, it says come up with a unique pickup line specific to your bird sona.
Yeah, so I read that and I imagine, like, come up with a pickup line that your sona would use on someone else.
Exactly.
You were just talking about commenting Storm on his features, so.
Yeah, see, I interpret it as what people would use to pick me up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, and if your I was pick lines, guys?
So,
all right, Storm. So.
Huh? What? Huh? Hell, what?
I thought Storm cut out. But
yeah,
I'm
me
sure.
Too.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
You're still there, okay.
All right.
In terms of a line, if I had to pick a line where I would use to pick up something else, somebody else, it would honestly it'd probably be similar. I would be something to do with their, especially with another bird, something to do with how pretty their eyes are, because I'm a sucker for eyes, or their feathers, or something like that. I would go for something physical related.
Hey, girl, are you a kappa? Because I could smell you from across the convention.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm very interested in Tweet's pickup line.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, because we had that confusion a second ago, I guess I would have two. So if you're going to pick me up... Oh, God, I feel weird for doing this, because they're specific to my sauna. Why did it have to be that? Anyway, if you're going to pick me up, it'd probably be something like, hey, Hot Tail, I want to add it to my collection.
There you go.
And
no, I want to snip it to my collection.
Oh my God, Storm, why?
so if you would bring a pickup line yourself to pick somebody up, it would be probably something like
you already know what it
have is. The tail. Wanna catch my tail, baby?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, so I actually typed something out for these three a little bit ago, audience, and I'm going to just read to you directly what I said and hate myself for it later. So if I was trying to pick somebody up, it'd probably be like, hey, cute, take my tail and earn my love.
Aww.
That's not too bad. That's adorable.
That's not too bad at all.
I mean, yeah, I guess whoever doesn't know me really personally would probably be like, oh, that's not so bad. They just want to get fucked. But no, that's not the deal at all.
Trust me, that is the most tame answer you could come up with. If that's what you thought of.
Also, Cor, what is your pickup line? Your Cor pickup line?
Hey, girl, you drive me raven mad.
That's not bad, actually.
Or, bad. I like my ravens or like here, I like my coffee. Hot, dark, and loud.
Or, see, here's what I thought for Cor. I thought Cor would use, hey, girl, want to try some of my grape jelly?
I'm just summing.
I'm going to stick with my own lines. Thank you, Storm.
you're exciting me to my core.
Okay, I'm gonna end this episode now. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Always be beeping.
But yeah, was there anything else, or should we wrap it up?
That's it. I actually have my own, like always. Would you rather? Okay, it's not really the topic, but would you rather have a bird head but a human body, or have a human head but a bird's body?
Oh, God! Horrible. Horrible. Horrible choices.
I would say human head but bird body, and this is, once again, if anybody knows me personally, you'll know why, but tail?
I would have to go the other route myself. I'd have to have bird head, human body, if I had no other choice. I'm happy in my human skin.
Actually,
I'm not another kid.
I thought this question was pretty easy, but now tweets made me very conflicted about my choice, because oh fucking God, would I love to.
If you had a human head but a bird body, you would look like you like botched a transformation scene.
It would look like a headless fursuiter. I think I would rather take the bird head for
because at least the bird head would look good in a suit. You know,
all right, alternatively, guys. Alternatively, and you do have a point. It would look a little weird if you had a bird body and a human head. That makes total sense, because you know, if you had a bird head, everyone could be like, "Oh, it looks like a helmet." You know, they've got fucking motorcycles with their helmets on and stuff, and it looks a little more natural if it was just the head. But if you had the bird body, you'd have limbs that you don't have now, and that's something I'd love to experience. I'd love to have, like, actual, like, digitigrade legs, like, talons, wings, a tail, just stuff that I haven't ever experienced as a human. That would be really exciting to me.
Okay.
And I'm not done. With a bird head, you'd have a beak, so you wouldn't be able to actually chew things, which means you'd have to swallow everything whole. And chewing is kind of part of the whole,
that
like,
already.
Enjoying food experience, you know? So,
yeah, and birds don't have that many taste buds, so your food would play, like, taste pretty boring. Yeah. I get you. But
I also imagine that your vocal cords would be a little different, so it'd probably be hard to talk.
I mean, that woodpecker tongue, on the other hand.
Okay, tweets, you sold me. That's pretty... pretty spot on.
He said tongue. Well, there you go.
Wait, was that in response to tweets or fleeks?
No, you tweets.
Oh, sorry.
You pitched it. The way you pitched it was pretty spot on.
I can't decide, but you convinced me about the bird's body. Also, it was now it actually is awesome. Now that I think about it, I would be like bird person.
Yeah.
Bird person, man. I would be bird person, man. Yeah, man.
Real life Rick and Morty reference. Woo.
Yeah, it was a very challenging mating season for bird person.
Oh, jeez.
Or it could be like a Harvey Birdman, attorney at law. Birdman. Okay, buckle up, because we're about done for this week, and I'm going to hype the show, and I'm going to tell you what kissing the bird can do for you, all in under 30 seconds. Here goes. Check us out on Twitter at BirdLife Podcast, Facebook.com/BirdLifePodcast, Telegram at t.me/BirdLife. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, via the RSS feed, or wherever you poach your podcast from, so long as you're poaching podcasts and not actual wild animals. That's not cool. Also, if you like the show, please kiss the bird. If you go to the website, bird.life, you can click on the cute little Australian magpie, and it'll take you to our Patreon. On our Patreon, if you're willing, please subscribe and donate even just $1 a month. That's $12 a year, or $60 if you do it every month for 5 years. I've had oil change in my bird car cost less than that. What's a bird car? Well, if you were a bird, you'd already know. But seriously, thank you so much for donating, and it really helps keep us going ad-free forever. And done. Thank you, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Stay squawky, my friends.
Tweets. Tweets, do the thing.
What thing?
Tweets.
Always be beeping.
Woohoo!
As soon as Tweets is back, I think he takes 5 minutes.
Okay, in that case, let's do the thing.
We are Hamilak here, and it sounds terrible. By the way,
don't you love latency?
Okay. I will give you a 50-50. What was that? That, what is that? Do you hear that? A bird, yes, and white noise?
Sorry about that. There's a kestrel outside my house that is just losing its shit over something, and I wanted to share that moment with you guys.